99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, when were you embarrassed for yourself or for someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Beezus. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So I work in Big Dirt. I'm a heavy equipment operator. And if anything knows anything about construction, you know, that it's pretty big ego. You know, you got a pretty big ego. And I'm getting pretty good on a six-wheel off-road haul truck. And I'm hauling loads all morning. It's about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, so the sun's still pretty low in the sky.
All right. Hello? And his phone just
died. Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah,
we'll call back if you get a chance.
Yeah, that was a little slow fade.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, man.
And he's gone. Here we go. The headline, I was deeply ashamed of my eighth grade photo. Then it went viral and millions of people saw it. When I posted my eighth grade photo on TikTok and Instagram a few weeks ago, I expected to get some laughs out of my family and friends, maybe even a couple of strangers. I did not expect the photo to be shared hundreds of thousands of times or to be seen by over 20 million people.
Damn.
The photo features me in 1989, smiling hopefully at the camera, with a certain curtain of long brown hair covering about a third of my face. I practiced a look for weeks in my bedroom mirror with the goal of using my hair to cover my lazy eye in my annual school photo. I felt like my lazy eye, known medically as amblyopia,
sure,
completely defined who I was. I thought if I could just hide it once, maybe people would see me and think of me as something more than just my eye. Now, when the prints came back a few weeks later, I was devastated. Not only had I failed to cover the eye with my hair, I had covered just enough of it to make it obvious that I was trying to hide it. A portion of the iris peeked out defiantly from behind the drape of hair.
It is a pretty bad picture.
Like it was photobombing my own photo. The boys who bullied me daily in homeroom class saw the photo and flailed about as their desks in fits of laughter. So I showed my mom. She told me I looked beautiful and immediately slid the picture into an 8x10 frame and placed it on the mantle in the dining room.
It's just what you wanted your mom to do.
Now, a few days later, I hid it in a drawer and rearranged the photos that had surrounded it. She noticed immediately and asked me why I'd taken it down. I told her I never wanted to see it again. Well, last month, I decided to start posting comedy videos to TikTok and Instagram. I had pursued a career in comedy writing and acting a decade ago and fell into a deep depression when I got knocked down by a series of rejections. So when I recently mustered the courage to start posting jokes and sketches to my social media, I remembered the photo. It had been a hit with a small theater audience almost 12 years ago. So I posted it on TikTok with a straightforward caption. Eighth grade school photo in 1989. When I tried to hide my lazy eye with my hair, and it didn't work. I paired the photo with a song, Forever Young, a song frequently played at my junior high school dances at the time. The reel seemed to quickly get a lot of engagement, but since I was new to posting publicly, I wasn't sure how to gauge how much attention was normal. Now, when it passed a million views on TikTok, I started to accept that something big was happening. The photo wasn't just being liked. It was being shared over and over and over again. People were tagging friends with crying, laughing emojis. I felt powerful for the first time in a long time. Comedy was where I first found my power. The ability to make someone laugh is to disarm and surprise them, to make them let go of whatever they're holding on to and bring them into the moment. Comedy for me is also about finding those universal hilarious moments people don't often talk about and drag those into the spotlight. So I shared the post on my Instagram profile, and the response was even more incredible. Not long after I shared it, the dashboard revealed the post had been viewed over 25 million times.
Bam!
By more than 16 million people. Thousands of comments poured in. One woman said she saw the post on a bus ride home and laughed for 10 minutes straight. I felt like people were laughing with me, not at me. In a single frame, I had inadvertently captured the all-too-familiar experience of a teenager trying to hide who she truly was, and then, of course, failing miserably. Yes, of course, there were some comments from trolls who responded just like the boys in my homeroom class. There were dozens of comments from men comparing me to Steve Buscemi's Crazy Eyes character in the Adam Sandler movie Mr. Deeds. Others delighted themselves by asking if I'd gotten kicked by a mule to straighten my eyes out. Having a lazy eye left me isolated, anxious, depressed, and desperate for connection in high school. It was more than just looking different than from the others. I couldn't make eye contact with anyone. Like many people with that, my eyes did not work together. I could focus one eye, usually the left one, on the person I was speaking to, while the other eye drifted all the way to the right.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I was making eye contact with people, it was only with one eye, so they couldn't tell. I lived in constant dread. Whenever I attempted eye contact, the person I was speaking to would usually look over their left shoulder to see where my lazy eye was looking. They ignored the eye that was looking at me and focused on entirely the one that was not. By the way, it's estimated that 2% or 4% of the U.S. population has a lazy eye.
Sure.
With the country's population at roughly 247 million, that would mean about 5 million people live with a lazy eye.
Oh, yeah.
So our question, when were you embarrassed for yourself or someone else? 206-803-ROG.
Welcome back, Beezus.
Sorry about that, boys.
No worries.
So I work in Big Dirt as a heavy equipment operator. And if anything knows about anything about construction is, you know, we get some pretty big egos and you try to protect them pretty proper. And I'm working on this job and I'm running a six wheel drive, off-road haul truck. And I'm trying to turn out, loads as quick as possible, dumping them as close as possible. And it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. We had a good start, a whole bunch of piles going. We're rocking and, the sun's coming up and it's just cresting the trees. So I got shadows, on some of the piles and some of the piles are in the sun. And then I'm guiding the truck back with two different mirrors on two different sides. And one's a bubble mirror, and then you got the two different mirrors. So you got two different depth perceptions. And I'm backing up, and the whole truck's designed to, the bed of the truck will roll side to side and not affect the cab.
Yeah.
So as I'm backing up, I'm it's starting to lurch on one side, and then I'm just getting it to the next pile to where it's gonna pick up and level off. Then I could dump right in between them. And I'm backing up. Everything's going great. And I'm looking out my left mirror, trying to judge. And I see it kind of rolling. Next thing you know, the whole cab bucks forward. And I look out the other mirror and the whole bed dumped over. Full load, dumped over. And I have to get out and tell the hoe operator, and he's already hanging his head like, Jesus, you know, this is
how long does it take him to fill the loader up?
It's about, say, six scoops, so.
All right, so it's not like it's not going to be hard to put it back in.
It's just annoying.
Well, it's not putting it back in. I was already where I needed to dump it. It's just, I dumped it out the side instead of the end.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
It completely rolled over and flopped over. So the tires weren't on the ground anymore. And the bed of the truck. The cab, it's designed to roll in the back of the bed. So the cab stays horizontal.
Right, right.
So, and then I get out, and obviously my hoe operator already saw. So he's coming over to dig. So he's got to dig all that material out. And then he has to flop it back over. And I just started running this, and I started just getting good, you know, so my ego is getting big, and then it just deflated. I mean, I was like, oh, my God. So I'm standing there, you know, and he's watching him dig it out, and then next thing you know, this is a huge job. Next thing you know, everybody starts coming out of the woodwork.
But to see your screw-up.
Yeah, everybody and anybody. I mean, we're talking project managers. I mean, the owner of the project, everybody's coming out, and they're all sitting there like, hey, what happened? So I was like, you can see what happened. Well, and then, you know, I'm thinking, oh, okay, ain't too bad. This is really embarrassing. And then here comes the owner of the company. And then so when you pull a dunce move like that, everybody turns their hard hat to the side.
Okay.
So every time I would drive by anybody, they would all flip their hard hat to the side and point and laugh.
How long did that last?
For a long time. That's the thing, is it doesn't really go. You can do 100 things amazing, nobody will remember them. You do one screw up.
That's true.
That will haunt you for the rest of your life.
That's life.
That is absolutely true, man. That's in any capacity.
When were you embarrassed for yourself or for someone else? 206-803-ROG.
All right, trying to get your opinion on this. All right. Who should I be embarrassed for? Myself or the dwarf? All right, so it's just it wasn't a big thing and nothing was said, but it was the first time my son saw a dwarf. And you got to remember, kids, in their mind, adults are tall, kids are short, and that's it, period, right? So we're at the grocery store, and we're in the produce section. So we had not been there long, and my son's maybe 4 years old, but he's holding my hand. And I see the dwarf, it's no big deal, and I always remember that he was looking at apples. Doesn't figure into the story, that's just what the guy was doing, just like anybody else, you know, examining the apples. So I'm in a hurry, and trust me, I'm not trying to be in the produce section, that's just kind of where you enter. So I'm trying to get to the aisle we're going to, and my son, suddenly, he's just dead body weight. But I'm not looking at him at the moment. I'm like, what the F, man? Turn around, and he's just staring at this dwarf. Now, they're on opposite sides of the produce table. But I realize my son is like, I don't understand what I'm seeing. But he's not saying anything. He's just staring the way that little kids stare. So I get it. No big deal. But, like, I just want to yank him away. Before I can yank him away, this dwarf guy now looks up. And he had this sour look on his face because he realizes my kid's staring at him. I think he knows why my kid's staring at him. And again, I don't know why the apple bugs me so much, but there's a dwarf with an apple in his hand, mean mugging my kid, all right? But my kid will not move. He is
locked
into this thing because he just can't figure out what's going on. So you don't want to, like, rip his arm out of the socket, but I'm giving him kind of a tougher tug. Like, come on. He moved. It's like when your dog doesn't want to go for a walk and they lock their front legs.
Yeah, they just
that kind of thing, right? So there's only so much you can do before you hurt them. So I'm trying to, like, adjust my angle where I have his hand. Like, come on, man. He won't even acknowledge me. Like, I say his name. He would not look at me. He's just staring at the dwarf. Well, now he and the dwarf are in a stare down. All right? But the dwarf won't put the apple down, which for whatever reason just made it weirder. So he's staring at my son, and he looks pissed. My son is just staring back at the dwarf. I got my kid's hand, and I'm just trying to pull him away. He's not moving. All right? So I'm getting a little more violent with the tug, like, come on, man, because now the dwarf has made eye contact with me. And I don't, like, he's mad at me because my kid's staring at him, and I'm like, dude, I know you know why my kid's staring at you. I will explain this, but it's like another 15 seconds now, angry dwarf, and he's still, this apple will not move. Like, the position he's holding it is the freaking position. He's not moving. He's just going to stare until this is resolved, however it's going to resolve itself. And I keep tugging my son, and to me it made it worse, because he could tell my kid has done, like, the dog don't want to walk leg lock thing, right? So all of this to me is making it worse, and I can almost feel like the sweat on my forehead. Like, look, man, you're making this really, really awkward. But dwarf, he ain't letting the gaze go. Then his eyes go back from me, back to my kid. So then I'm feeling embarrassed, but in my mind, I'm like, I still got my kid in my hand. Angry dwarf with the apple is still standing, and nobody's moving, right? It's like an Old West showdown in a Clint Eastwood movie or something. And I'm like, why am I embarrassed? Like, are you embarrassed? And I can't say this, but I wonder, like, dwarf dude, are you embarrassed? My kid's not embarrassed. So either it's me or you, but my kid's just like, what is that? And the guy had full facial hair. I mean, and I get it. It just blows my kid's mind. So this thing finally ends. I finally get my kid. Keep in mind, I had to pull my kid away before dwarf with the apple would make a move. He just stood there the whole time. So I finally pull my kid away. We get down an aisle, and my kid's already finally looks at me like, what? So I explained the situation. My kid got it. He's like, oh, okay. Right. That's as long as it took to explain it to him. 5 seconds. He's like, oh, got it. All right. But the rest of the time I'm in the store, I'm like, man, and it's such a stupid thought. Like, I really don't want to bump into this dwarf again.
You will. Because when you're in the grocery store, man, you just keep switching back and forth. You'll see the same people.
I saw him one more time. I don't think you saw me, and I even kind of snatched my kid to change the angle we're walking. But I've always wondered, like, who was more embarrassed? Was it me? Because I felt kind of embarrassed, but I wasn't doing anything. You know, I'm honestly trying to get up.
I guess, but the dwarf, you, but also, like, your kid doesn't know. I mean, it's tough. Like, look,
he doesn't know.
The dwarf, I'm sure, gets it way too much.
I'm sure
he's very annoyed at it.
Oh, by his face says this is not the first time. But it looked like he's thinking, like, this will be the last. But I'm like, I don't know if you're embarrassed, dude. Don't be embarrassed. It's a little kid. But now I'm embarrassed, and I'm not doing anything.
When were you embarrassed for yourself or for someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
I think it would have been different if your kid was, like, pointing.
He did not point.
And yelling at him. But, like, if he's just staring at him or just being like, what is that? Like, that sometimes, like,
you think that's better?
No, I think that's worse.
Okay,
so I'm saying, at least he was just staring and you tugged him away. But I've seen little kids say,
like, it took a long time to tug his ass away. I think that's what embarrassed me is not that my kid stared. It's that as I'm trying to pull him away, He won't take his eyes off of this mystery man across from him with the apple.
Oh, boy.
Hello, Felix. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So kind of similar to one of the guys earlier who was sharing, but when I was 18, for New Year's Eve on like December 31st, right? I went to go get some street tacos like I usually do. Love it. One of my favorite foods. But this one time, I don't know if it was like they were short staffed because it was New Year's Eve or whatever, but it just didn't sit right. And I was supposed to be staying the night at my girlfriend's house. And eventually I just started getting food poisoning. Middle of the night, I wake up. I'm pooping myself in my sleep and it gets on her carpet. Like, it's horrible. It was over like a book that was on the ground too. I mean, I was like so embarrassed. I couldn't even like stand. I fell asleep in the bathroom on the floor, just in a t-shirt. Like, it was so embarrassing. It was one of the worst moments of my life.
Now, what was her response? Was she just like, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine? Or was she like, you're nasty AF?
No, she was pretty cool about it. Her mom actually ended up cleaning it, which was actually kind of more embarrassing. But it was just, it was a whole ordeal, and it definitely permanently scarred me for life.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the mom cleaning it actually does make it worse, man. It's like, please don't bring your mom into this. Okay. Now you're my
good times.
It's okay, Felix. Everyone poops on my daughter's carpet and in her bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on a book on the floor.
You don't want somebody else's parent helping you.
No.
I mean, just in your 20s, right?
Absolutely not.
Like, I remember there's that story I tell, like, me and Bernie, right? Where, like, so in the wintertime, I'd help him with his landscape and, like, plow and stuff.
Sure.
So it had snowed. So we had been out plowing and salting all day. And then it kind of was one of those weird days where it was warming up as the evening went on.
Uh-huh.
So we went to this construction zone. We're driving around. There's these giant puddles. We're like, you know, four wailing around in his Jeep. And we just said, let's not go in that one. And I remember I said, you never know how deep a mud holler can be. Because I'd seen some show. So we go back. We pick up Bernie's sister and her friend, right? So now we got, you know, we're good to go. We go to the same place, four wheeling around. We get to the same mud puddle. Oh, no, that's what it was. We didn't pick up his sister. We picked up my cousin Tommy.
All right.
My cousin Tom is in the back seat. And I'll never forget. He goes, how deep can it be, Bernie? It was deep. The Jeep got stuck, right? Like, up to the running boards in mud.
Damn.
So then we had, luckily, his brother showed up with a truck. That got stuck. We had to basically steal a heavy piece of equipment and chains to get this stuff out of there.
Wow.
But same thing. We tried to wash the Jeep. We get home, and as we're coming up the stairs, I mean, Bernie's mother undressed us both. Just, you two are idiots. It was so, and I don't know how to explain it, but having his mom like yell at us was more embarrassing than if it was just my mom.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it was just horrible.
Our question, when were you embarrassed for yourself or for someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
You're in the men's room.
Coming up on the Social Positive Friday, we will drink and toast in the weekend with a shot of the day.
But it's Bad Choice Friday.
Tag. You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
And today we celebrate the 420 holiday on a Bad Choice Friday with Willie Nelson.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I do love this song. Willie's got some bangers. I mean, they're not bangers. They're good songs.
Like Yanni?
Yeah. Yanni, Willie.
Well, after that windstorm stopped Bob Dylan, to Willie's credit, he tried to back out right before cutoff at the gorge, and he pumped this one out.
Oh, he did. He got one in.
He did. Right. He got like five or six songs. I mean, he got a few songs in, but he got this one in.
Willie Nelson on the road again, taking on Snoop Dogg in a Bad Choice Friday.
Laid back. With my mind on
my money and my money. Oh, now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live, one of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with the shot of the day. Hard a question. When were you embarrassed for yourself or for someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
Boy, that was perfect timing. That break just gave me time to finish prepping my dinner. So sweet.
Awesome. We did that for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm doing tempura prawns and tempura cod. So.
That sounds great.
No, yeah. And Miles, I am doing french fries.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't cheated on that this year a couple times.
Okay, anyhow, this story is kind of gross, but I felt so bad for this poor woman. Years ago, I retired from grocery, and I was sitting out in my car having lunch and people watching, you know, people going in and out of the store and stuff. And I saw this woman, middle-aged woman, get out of her car, and she had white pants on, and she turned around to close the door. And I thought, oh my God, what does she have a maple leaf stuck to her butt for? And I took a closer look, and it was not a maple leaf. And oh. I felt so bad for her walking into the store like that.
Yeah,
I mean, do you say anything? You know, like, look, if I walk by a stranger and there flies down, like, hey, bro, barn door's open, so, hey, good looking out. Stranger's talking to you, there's something in their teeth, like, hey, dude, I don't know, you got something in your teeth? They're like, thank you, good looking out. If someone has pooped themselves and they're unaware, I don't know that I'd go up and say anything.
No, that's a tough one.
Would you want to know? Like, if my fly's open and someone tells me my fly's open, I'm like, cool, hey, thank you, man. Something with my teeth. Thank you. If I pooped myself and didn't know, do you want to know?
What happened?
You're in public?
No. It happened a couple times, what he's talking about, just growing up. Because, look, it's going to start at some point in time. You know, and, man, in the 80s, white pants, white Levi jeans were kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And the girl sitting in front of me, she was going through it. I just tapped her on the shoulder and I said, hey, are you okay? She's like, why? And I'm like, well, you're bleeding. And, you know, I didn't really... I don't know. I thought she was maybe bleeding on her back. Like, I didn't really know. I was maybe 13 years old, 12 years old.
Yeah, you don't know.
So I wasn't really... We had sex ed class, and they might say, well, women will start menstruating at this point in time, or something like that. But that's way over my head.
They don't say it's a bloody affair. They don't say menstruating,
I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? So, like, I just, like, you know, Andrea, are you okay? And she's like, oh, no. And she took off running in the bathroom, and she was gone for the rest of the day. But
I think
that's actually how I learned about, you know.
But would you say something now?
But that's different. I think Thrill's asking. It's another adult.
You know damn well.
You
what
know
it is.
They pooped their pants,
and maybe they're walking around the bar or the somewhere public. Clearly, they don't know.
But okay, I'll tell you what.
Like,
I didn't. I've gone through this before. I was playing in a golf tournament with my uncle in Florida.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, a lot of the people in Florida are retired. They're older.
Sure.
But they're still out there swinging a golf club. So I'm in the tournament. The guy in front of me, the group in front of me that are teeing off, guy gets out of the cart, and his whole backside of his pants is basically not a maple leaf, but maybe a candy bar. And I did not say anything. I shook his hand, you know, because my uncle introduced me to him because he knew him. They're all in the same club. So they all know
Sure.
And I asked my uncle, I was like, man, did you see that he... completely soiled himself, and he's like, yes, I did. I said, okay, just making sure you saw that and it wasn't just me. But neither one of us said anything. I didn't go like, why don't you tell him? I was just like, I know why I'm not saying anything. I just met the guy. But still.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You think his playing partner would.
You would think his playing partner would.
But when we got back to the end, he was still there with the same pants on, so nobody told him.
I mean, I guess that's the other issue, though. Even if you told him, like, what's he going to do at that point?
It's not much they can do, but would you want to know?
Well, they do have lockers there. I mean, I don't know facility-wise. Yeah, you're going to clean it up.
Let's just say it's you, right? I mean, sometimes...
I have no idea this has happened.
Right. Or yeah, I mean, what's the term? Mud butt or something?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like you feel like you're
you
sure?
Might think you have mud butt, but you're not convinced that you have stained the back of your pants.
Correct. So, like, I don't know. That's a tough one. Like, I want somebody being like, hey, man, you crapped your pants. Like, oh, no.
Maybe the approach would be this. Excuse me, sir. Let me ask you something. He says, yeah. If you had pooped your pants and other people notice, would you want to know? If they say, yeah, I absolutely would. Like, funny. You pooped yourself.
I was just
maybe that's, that. Hey, man, it's just a random question. If you say the answer's no, like, okay, curious. If you say yes.
I mean, it might depend, honestly, on circumstances, right? Like, if I'm near my house, all right, I'll run home. If I'm by my buddy's house, like, we share some clothes, like, cool. I know I could fit into some of his sweats or his shorts, but, like.
So you're saying it depends.
Yeah, ironically.
You're getting on the plane. Yeah. You're at the airport.
Yeah.
Do you want someone to say, hey, man, you know, just so you know, you might not want to get up and use the restroom on this flight because everyone's going to see that you pooped yourself. Would you want to know? I would.
I mean,
I would want. I would. I'm not gonna be happy, but I would rather one person on the flight tell me before 350 people see my muddy
That's
ass.
That's why you don't want to leave the house if you have diarrhea.
No.
No. When were you embarrassed for yourself or someone else? 206-803 Rock.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
So I'm on this church field trip for the youth group to Lake Taps and. We're standing on the dock, but we're all in our street clothes. And there was this girl that I kind of had a crush on, of course, that I wanted to, like, pretend push into the lake. Only I did the push catch part wrong, and I ended up just pushing her into the lake. And, of course, she wasn't too amused, and none of the other kids that were in the group were that amused either, because they threw me in, too. So I got, like, second baptism in my street clothes. So, yeah, it was pretty embarrassing and stuff, and I ended up not going to that church anymore, but that worked out because, you know, during football season, I'd rather be watching the Seahawks than going to church.
Did you stop going to that church because of that incident?
Yeah, I have to say that was the main type of thing because, you know, I was the jerk who pushed a girl into the lake in her street clothes, you know. And
that is bad luck.
Yeah. How you live and you learn, man.
Yeah, no matter the intent, that's a bad look. Yeah.
I was at, there's an amphitheater in Baltimore that's down on the Inner Harbor. This is the same place where Ted, at one point in time, ate David Crosby's salmon during the CSN show, or whatever it was.
Also, the greatest recovery of my life is you left, and I took your front row seats, and I did not see a step. And to this day, I don't know how I almost fell over. I mean, it felt like my face almost hit the concrete.
All right.
But I managed to pull up and, like, not fall. Mm-hmm. And this one guy just sticks his hand out and I high-fived it.
Walked back. Nice. Yeah. So I'm up there. This is a different show. I believe it was the Doobie Brothers or the Guess Who, somebody like that. One of those bands. But we're up there with another girl that I worked with who in the morning and another dude. And so I get up on the mic. And as soon as I, and it's the summertime, it's this outdoor summer concert place. And as soon as I get on the mic, my female co-host comes up and she takes my pants, which were, you know, just shorts.
And yeah.
At the time, I wasn't really big on wearing underwear because it gets swampy and hot in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So I was not. And she pants me, man. And I'm sitting there with my hand on the microphone and I look down and I'm, it's a sold out show. There's, what does that hold? 3,500 people, maybe? Somewhere
it's
in
like
there.
42, 4, 000, yeah. 4,
I was going to say, I think people. It's closer to 5,000 people.
Okay, 5,000 people, yeah. Not only that, but I'm on a screen behind me.
Oh, even better.
I mean, okay, like all three of us are up there, so it's a wide shot. So it's not just like me from the chest up. It's all of us up there. And I mean, I'm just standing there. And there's other screens, and they have screens on the outside, too. So I'm looking. I'm like, I got to bend over and pull my pants up. And I just pulled my pants up and kept on going.
Like, I mean, what else can you do, man?
But my face was beat red.
Thank God this was before the prolific camera phone.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd still be watching it now.
Definitely was.
Yeah, like if that happened nowadays.
Well, thank God it was a hot day. That had that going for me.
So you look a little better, right?
I look better than I normally would, like, than being, you know, in a cold environment. That kind of helped, but it still was just like, I'm sitting there.
I'd be pissed.
I mean, my pants are around my ankles, like, and I had the microphone in my hands. I'm trying to figure out how to pull them.
And so you hear it with the mic.
Yeah.
As you're pulling
up
your pants.
Plus, you got to remember, when she pants me, man, it's still buttoned. They're still zipped up.
Right.
So, like, to try to put them back on, I got to, like, unbutton, unzip, you know what I mean? Just to get them around my hips, my ass. So it took a little time to even just get readjusted.
Did the crowd cheer?
Cheering and laughter, yes.
Yeah, okay.
They loved it. I mean, I
would have been hot.
But I didn't stay for the show. I was like, I'm leaving.
Oh,
like,
did you?
Oh, I left.
I don't blame you.
I was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not hanging around to find out what the comments are.
Right.
When were you embarrassed for yourself or someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jim.
You know her.
I do, right?
Yeah.
Jim, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing good, Jim. It's Positive Friday.
Well, right on. I like to hear that. Anyway, my story, me and my cousins, I'm the youngest. There was four of us, and we decided to go streaking.
All right.
So we're across the street from this hotel. The idea is to run across the street, run through to the back of the motel. Excuse me, not hotel. Jump in the swim pool, swim across the pool, get out, run back to the back fence line, jump a fence, go through the neighbor's garden, another fence, and then into my aunt's backyard. So we all get undressed, and we start running. Of course, I'm the youngest out of all four of us, and they're ahead of me. They jump in the pool, they get through, and I trip and fall, and just really mess my shin up real bad. And I'm bleeding. There's this lady sitting back there. She wasn't too happy about it. But anyway, her husband was, he couldn't stop laughing. He goes, get the kid a towel. And well, she's gone getting me a towel. The guy goes, man, he's a veteran, I take. But he goes, man, with friends like that, you sure don't need any enemies. I wouldn't want them in the foxhole with me. Anyway, they left me there. And I was so banged up, I couldn't walk hardly.
So how long did it take you to get back to the aunt's house now that you're banged up and got a towel wrapped around it?
Probably about 15 minutes after that. They insisted on taking me, and I said, no, I'll make it. So I went ahead and jumped the fence, went through the garden, jumped the other fence, ended up at the aunt's. Well, they all laughed at me, and it was pretty embarrassing.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Do anything naked, it's more embarrassing.
At least 5,000 people didn't see you. When were you embarrassed for yourself or someone else? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Gentlemen.
Hola.
All right. I can't believe I'm telling this story, but I'm telling it. So I was laying on the floor with my daughter, watching a movie, having some popcorn, and I coughed. And when I coughed, I really hurt my back. Bad. I mean, I couldn't get up off the floor. Nothing. And so I get there. My wife gets me up. I'm like, this really sucks. Next thing you know, it's like a week later, and I still can't stand up straight. And so I'm like, there's something really wrong. So I go in and see my doctor. Oh, let's take an x-ray. Oh, we just think it's the muscle. You know, don't worry about it. It'll loosen up. Here's some muscle relaxers, you know. And, of course, they gave me some Oxycontin. Nothing is even affecting my back pain. I still can't stand up straight. And about week three, my feet start going numb. I can't feel my feet. And I'm like, this is an issue. And so week four rolls around, and I start losing all my feeling below my waist. And I'm like, that's it. I'm a big, tough guy, but this is ridiculous. So I go in, I see my doctor again. And I said, here's what's going on. I'm losing the feeling below my waist. And they go, okay, we'll get you an MRI. So next day I go in for an MRI. I do the MRI at like 11. And I get out of the MRI. The doctor comes down and says, okay, who do you need to call? And I'm like, call for what? Well, you're going into surgery right now because you have a herniated disc and it's crushing your spinal cord. And I'm like, yeah, that's not good. And I've been telling you that something's wrong. So, cool. So I call my wife and we go to Tacoma General. And I don't know what was going on that day, but they had us in a room with really small gurneys with, you know, just curtains around them.
Yeah.
But you couldn't fit two people in there, right? So, and you could hear everybody talking. And there's got to be 25, 30 people in there. And I'm in pain. I'm not a good patient when I'm in pain. And so I'm laying there and this male nurse comes in and goes, hey, how you doing? I said, not good. Well, you're here for some surgery, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, listen, I'm going to do some tests. You know, we're going to check your feet and check your legs and see how far up the numbness goes. I said, okay. And so they check my feet and they're like, I can't feel that. I can see you doing it, but I can't feel it. Check my calf. Yeah. I can feel that a little bit more. So he goes, okay, I'm going to need you to lay on your side. And he puts his hand on my hip. And I'm laying on my side, and he goes, I need to check your rectum. And I'm like,
wow.
Why are you talking so loud? You know, I can reach out and touch the person next to me in the bed. And he didn't say why I was going into surgery or anything. It was just, I need to check your rectum. And I'm like, dude, okay. And by this time, I'm getting very upset because I don't care what they do. Just make the pain stop, right?
Sure.
My wife at the time is, I look up at her like, oh, my God. And she is hysterically crying laughing, okay, because she knows everybody can hear what's going on. And I'm sitting there just going, this is not good. And she goes, it's okay, honey. It's okay. Why is she crying? So the guy goes, okay, you might feel a little pressure. And he goes up like two or three levels in his voice when he says that. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Just do it. Just get it done. I don't care. And sure enough, he has his hand on my hip, and then, you know, he checks my rectum and pulls out his fingers, and he goes, yeah, you're a little loose.
Oh, God.
I'm like, dude, really? And by this time, my wife is almost on the floor. She couldn't talk. She couldn't breathe, nothing. And, you know, I'm just sitting there going, okay. And he smacks me on the hip. All right, we'll get you up there in just a second, get that surgery done. And, like, I was so mad, and I was just, get me out of this place. And they wheel me out on the gurney, and I go around the corner, and the guy next to me had his curtain open, and he was just shaking his head. And I'm like, what does this look like to everybody else in this room? Can I please stop right here and tell him I hurt my back? And
you're David with the loose rectum.
Yeah. This is all from sneezing.
Yeah, it was awful. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, that's it's almost worse when it's not even accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm there because I have a loose rectum, like, okay, I didn't want you to know that, but that's the truth. Where it's like, when that's not the case, I'm supposed to tell people, there's nothing wrong with my butt. There's nothing wrong with my backside.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
When were you embarrassed for yourself or someone else? 206-803-ROB.
I got a loose one back in.
Yeah.
And sweat it.
Hello, Nikki. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Okay, so this was a few years ago when my kid was, I don't know, about 11 or 12. And we went to the beach, public beach, and there's a long dock. And her and her little friends run up or down to the end of the dock. And there's this kid behind me. And he's probably, I don't know, maybe 6'1", 6'2". Big kid. Good looking, mixed kid. And he's clucking like a chicken behind me. And each time I kind of turn around and I'm like, what is this dude doing? And, you know, so he keeps doing it. And I turn around, finally, I'm so irritated. And I go to push him in the water and he's fighting it. And he ends up going down on the dock. And the dock had like that tar paper on it.
Yeah.
And so he skinned his knee and he started to cry. And then he starts to lick the blood. And my kid runs up and she's like, Mom, he's a special needs kid from my school.
Oh.
Pushed over a special needs kid.
Damn.
Yes. And I'm like, this is some bull. No, no, he's not. But he's in full tears and looking around. I'm like, well, where's his caregiver? And then his little sister is in the water. And so she gets out and I don't know. It was crazy. Everybody at the beach was looking at me like I was a monster.
The mean woman that you are, pushing over the special.
Had you seen him, Nikki, had you seen him swimming before this happened?
No.
And it still seems bold just to push somebody in the water to begin with.
No.
He's clucking behind me.
No, okay, I hear you, but not everybody on a dock knows how to swim.
He was in shorts, and that's it.
Did you think he was, like, calling you a chicken, kind of? Like, oh, you're not getting in the water?
Yeah, I don't. It was just so bizarre because I had run into a friend from high school, so we were kind of catching up and talking, and I'm like, this kid, what is he doing?
F this kid. Mm-hmm. Mom!
Yeah.
What were you telling me, Ted? You did the, Walker told me I have AIDS. Where were you? You said, like, you thought everyone understood the context of it. But.
Yeah, and I said it, and nobody had a reference point to Walker or whatever.
Texas Ranger.
Yeah, and it was the same thing, like, we've been using it, right? Like, just kind of.
Yeah, just a like, funny thing
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, just like, Walker says I have AIDS. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh. Damn it. Should I tell that one real quick? I'll tell you before the show.
I think this is great.
All right. So yesterday, obviously, I confused a couple of black actors. Not happy about it. So I said it through. I go, it's kind of like inadvertent racism, which I swear I wasn't trying to do it. So me and my two buddies are fishing on this dock, right? And it's one of those docks. You can't have a motorized boat, but it's crowded. So there's all these Russian guys, and then there's us. We got there early. So I'm on the corner of the dock, right? Yeah. I got a nice spot. This was a couple years ago. It's like 80 degrees. It's hot out. And look, I'm drinking beers. So I'm not really looking at the guy next to me. And sometimes I will joke around with people I don't know and go, oh, this guy knows. And people are like, what are you talking about? Like, ah, that's a funny joke. So my buddy catches a fish. And I go, hey, man, we should just cut that up right now and get some sashimi. Everybody loves sashimi. This guy does. And as I look back at my friends, they're kind of like, ooh, no. There's only one Asian guy on this dock. And I had just nonchalantly been like, this guy loves sashimi. He gets it. And the guy got, when I looked up, he's kind of nodding.
No, actually.
My buddy's like, dude, like, it was really embarrassing.
Super racist. Without even trying to.
Yeah. Like, I assume he loves it.
This guy knows.
This guy loves it, man.
Ask him.
Right? He's probably got a crew chief on him.
Coming up, the return of Ted versus the FCC at 4:35, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.